At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
This afternoon, government has revealed a series of sub-programs under its flagship 24-hour plus economy initiative aimed at transforming Ghana's economic structure and reducing overdependence on exports. Among these are Grow 24, Build 24, Fund 24, Go 24, and other strategic interventions designed to boost agricultural production, infrastructure development, financial access, and efficient logistics. Speaking at the official launch held at the Accra International Conference Center, President John Mahama said that the Volta Economic Corridor will serve as the anchor of the 24-hour plus project, driving industrial and agro-processing activities around the clock.
The 24-hour plus agenda comprises synergistic sub-programs that are tailored to key value chains. You must have heard the ministers mentioning them. These include Grow 24. Now, Grow 24 is about boosting agricultural productivity, agro-processing, and food security. Make 24 is about revitalizing our manufacturing and industrialization. Build 24 is about accelerating infrastructure, construction, housing, and public works. Show 24 is about harnessing Ghana's rich creative cultural and tourism assets. And Connect 24 is about fixing our logistic chains, transport warehousing, ports, energy, and digital infrastructure. And Fund 24 is about unlocking innovative financing through credit guarantee schemes, blended finance, and venture capital. Aspire 24 is about building the skills of our people, our values, our ethics, and digital capacity for competitiveness. And Grow 24 is about mobilizing all sectors, religious, security, academic, and civic, for national productivity and pride. This structure ensures depth and focus. We're not attempting to fix everything everywhere all at once. We're targeting high-impact, job-rich, and export-oriented sectors with strong forward and backward linkages. And now, so what is the famous Volta Economic Corridor we're talking about? That is our flagship anchor. While the 24-hour plus program is national in scope, our flagship intervention is the Volta Economic Corridor, a transformational effort to unlock the economic and environmental potential of the Volta Lake and its surrounding lands. Ladies and gentlemen, our first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, envisioned the Volta project at Akosombo not only as a source of power to power Ghana's industrial sector, he also saw it as an integrated project that will provide agribusiness, it will provide lands for agriculture, irrigation. Unfortunately, that aspect of his vision have been lost. Today, we're recreating Kwame Nkrumah's dream.
President John Dramani Mahama there. Well, let's head to the AICC, speak to Presidential Affairs Correspondent Max Olagbawa with more details. Max, the President says the 24-hour plus policy is not only about extending productivity. Tell us more.
Yes, he says it's not only about extending productivity, like you rightly mentioned, but doing everything possible to improve upon Ghana's economy. The president says the private sector is expected to take the lead in implementing the 24-hour plus economy program, with government playing a facilitating, not dominating role. Now, President Mahama explained that the program secretariat will gradually evolve into an autonomous 24-hour authority, reporting directly to the sitting president and, by extension, successive presidents.
The finance and implementation institutional frameworks for 24-hour plus. The private sector will lead the 24-hour plus program. Government will facilitate and not dominate. Government will facilitate and not dominate. Any government funding in 24-hour plus will be catalytic, serving as seed funding for the 24-hour plus authority and supporting bulk infrastructure. Enterprise financing will be sourced through commercial banks, DFIs, and blended finance instruments. Fund 24 will address access to capital, collateral constraints, and the short-term nature of most of our banking finance. Credit guarantee schemes will support risk sharing without breaching our fiscal covenants with our multilateral institutions. And as announced, the Secretariat will evolve into an autonomous 24-hour plus authority that reports directly to the President. This policy is made for Ghana in the future. And so when I say report directly to the President, I don't mean only this President. It will report to the next President and the next President and the next President. The 24-hour plus program will be the catalyst for Ghana's economic growth, and we are sure that it will make Ghana prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a call to...
Well, that's President Mahama once again. Well, Maxwell, what more will the President be doing later today?
Later today, the Prime Minister of India, His Excellency Narendra Modi, is expected in Ghana in some hours. There will be a bilateral meeting between President Mahama and the Prime Minister at the presidency. The two leaders are expected to engage in discussions aimed at deepening our cooperation across various areas, including trade, education, healthcare, energy, and more. There will also be the signing of quite a number of bilateral agreements to consolidate our cooperation frameworks. And then later, President Mahama will also host a state dinner in honor of President Modi and his delegation. But he's expected to touch down in Ghana in some hours.
Right. Thank you very much. Max Olagbawa is Presidential Affairs Correspondent. But what really is the 24-hour economy? Journey's research team has been digging deep into this, and lead data and research analyst Isaac Kofi Eje joins me with details. Kofi, what are we learning?
Well, Mami, so the first thing we need to note is that the nomenclature has actually changed. It's now 24-hour economy, an accelerated export development program. And we understand that this will actually boost productivity 24 hours, create decent job, enhance industrialization, which the president spoke about, promote export and drive self, you know, reliant and inclusive growth. And now we also understand that under this 24-hour economy, there will be some, you know, incentives. And these are the proposed incentives. There are tax reliefs and incentives. And it's also a strategic value chain development fund that will partly finance by levies on imported, you know, finished products that Ghana will actually export and also produce locally. And so what we understand is that in terms of the incentive side, it will really focus on taxation. But another important thing is that According to the secretariat, this will cost about $4 billion, right, you know, US dollars to implement the 24-hour economy. But the president says that this will be driven by the private sector.
Thank you so much, Kofi Ejia. Well, Ghanaians, are we ready for this? Stephen Mensah has been speaking to a cross-section of them to gauge their views.
So many people need employment, so many people need the chance to do. And it brings also competitiveness, because in the public sector per se, where you close and you go, if they compare what you had been able to do within your 8 to 5 p.m. hours and what the night guy too had been able to do, meaning the same desk, you would have different shifts and it will be competitive, you know. They compare your output, your efficiencies, and maybe that could help some of the laziness out. It could push some of the laziness out.
Well, it's good news to us students, because, you know, if it helps us get employed and get good jobs, then it's going to be very, very, very good initiative for us. So it's a welcomed stuff, actually.
This is a good policy. It will help those who, there are some people who can't work daytime. They would like to work at night, you know, and then at the daytime, relax. So at night, there's also a job for them, which also boosts the economy.
Yeah, I sell shoes, phones, and then I do Momo as well. Oh, it's a good idea, because when you work the whole day, you have been paying a little. So within 24 hours, you know that maybe when I go to job, I can get this. You can go and then you close early, then you continue with your work that you do as well.
Before any policy introduction, there must be what? A thorough stakeholder consultation, you understand? But in this sense, there hasn't been any thorough consultation. So the stakeholders and other things coming together to bring their policy and other things so that it will benefit from it. I don't think it is going to be feasible because of lack of that.
Well, let's do some health stories now. The health ministry is insisting cases of COVID-19 reported at the University of Ghana remains only on campus. This comes after the Noguchi Memorial Institute warned cases were being reported from different parts of the country. Let's hear from Professor Kofi Boni, who is head of virology at the Noguchi Memorial Institute.
Then way down, somewhere in May, we started getting cases from other regions. Eastern region, we have some few cases there. Greater Accra, some parts outside the university district, the district that university is fine, it is situated. We have some cases coming in. Volta region, Ashanti region. So we have had cases from all these regions. But you see, what broke the camel's back was 2 weeks ago, where we had an overwhelming number of cases from the university community. That is what maybe gave reason to the circular that the university sent around, that then the university community should be aware of what is happening so that they will take the needed precautions. So yes, it is not a localized resurgence, I would say. We'll be having these cases, and it is expected because we are in the rainy season.
But addressing Parliament, the Minister of Health, Kwabena Mintah-Kando, who noted that the situation is largely localized, also confirmed there are no hospitalizations and fatalities. As at yesterday, he revealed 300 suspected cases have been recorded, with 107 cases confirmed. He again assured government is prepared to contain a possible outbreak in the country if infections spread beyond the university campus.
The recent COVID-19 cases are localized at the University of Ghana community only. I'm proud to inform this House that the cases were detected through Ghana's influenza surveillance system and confirmed by the Noguchi Memorial Institute for Medical Research. This national network of centennial sites operates across all 16 regions, while many countries have scaled down or even stopped routine COVID-19 testing. Ghana has continued to integrate COVID-19 monitoring into its broader surveillance of respiratory viruses. This foresight and commitment to preparedness allowed us to detect the current outbreak easily and respond swiftly. It is a clear demonstration of Ghana's leadership in maintaining vigilance even after the end of the global emergency phase. This should reassure all Ghanaians that should there be any cases outside the university campus, our surveillance system remains active and ready to detect and respond effectively. Mr. Speaker, as at now, 316 suspected cases, 107 of those cases have been confirmed as COVID-19. Fortunately, Mr. Speaker, there are no hospitalizations and, more importantly, no deaths.
Meanwhile, a clinical microbiologist and senior lecturer at the Department of Medical Diagnostics, KNUST, Dr. Michael Owusu, has called on churches and other institutions to reintroduce mask wearing and social distancing protocols.
There are students who are sickless in our SHS boarding houses, in churches, at the offices, at the bank. There are elderly people who may have chronic underlying illness. You know, COVID, we lost some of these people, very painful. We haven't forgotten about this. Some of them very close friends who just disappeared because they had some chronic ailments. Some of them, and you take these actions to protect this minority. Because the more you allow the transmission to go on, they will be trapped. It's a whole population thing. And once they are trapped, they will become infected. But you are free. You cough, sneeze, take your coffee and take some pepper and you are fine. 3 days, you are back to work. But those people may go, it may take them to the hospital and they may be hospitalized. So we need to take these actions for some of these people. Although we are saying it's a mild disease, but I can tell you, if they get influenza or, COVID, for those people, it's an infectious agent. It's a virus that exists. And some of us talking to you, we test these viruses. We handle them. We know, we understand. They have become a part of us. So you cannot sit back and say that it doesn't exist. It has killed people. We have seen about 1,400 and something have died. You must know it exists and protect yourself. Don't wait and become exposed or even infect somebody elsewhere and cause them to die. Not just those who don't believe it doesn't exist.
Well, away from that, the Ghana Water Company has announced the shutdown of the Wager treatment plant to allow for emergency repair works on major pipelines supplying water to western parts of Accra. In a statement, the company said the repairs will result in water supply interruptions in several communities. Journalist editor Fred Smith joins me in the studio with details. Fred, which areas will be affected?
Well, Mamiasi, the water supply interruption will be from 10 a.m.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Till 5 p.m. today, of July 2025, and the affected areas include Kolibu, Dansoman, Mamprobi, parts of Weja, Bawi, Malam, Anya, Kwashiman, Ablekuma, Dakuman, Kaneshin, Tesano, Odoko, Sotium, La Paz, parts of Achimota, North Industrial Area, and adjoining communities. And it says that the Ghana Water engineers are on site working hard to ensure that the work is completed and on schedule.
Thank you so much, Fred Smith. Joy News editor, you're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break, return with sports, and we'll tell you the story of a 10-year-old boy who studies in traffic while his mother hawks Sasha water, all to become a soldier and change her life.
4+1=5. And I have seen Jesus.
What do you want to become?
Soldier.
A soldier.
Yeah, Mubarak. So the second vice president of the Ghana Boxing Authority, Roger Bano, has assumed the role of acting president. He takes over following the resignation of Ibrahim Kote Nikwe, who stepped down citing personal reasons. Now, boxing expert Nathaniel Ato has more.
Mr. Ibrahim Kote Nikwe, after his resignation, has to hand over to the first vice president. In the instance where there is no first vice president in place, he will hand over to the second vice president. So in this particular case, the first vice president then, Mr. Rabon Dodu, resigned 2 years ago. So there's a void in that space as well. And so that's the reason why the mantle has fallen on Mr. Roger Bano, the seasoned and respected ring official, the referee judge, who will now run the association. Now, his immediate mandate is to ensure that he collaborates with all agencies, including the Sports Authority and the Ministry, to ensure that an elective Congress is held as soon as possible.
That's boxing expert Nathaniel Atto with that report. Back to you, Mamisi.
Thank you very much, Mubarak. Well, there's some news reaching us from the Electoral Commission, and Joy News editor Fred Smith will give us details. Fred, what are we learning?
You understand we've had some issues to do with the Abdulkuma North election in 2024. And for long, the EC has struggled to resolve this because the NDC and NPP have disagreed on the approach. Okay, now the Electoral Commission says they've held meetings with these two parties and they've been able to resolve the matter. They've fixed the 11th of July 2025 to rerun in 19 of the polling stations in that constituency. And it says that they've informed the two political parties and that the 19 polling stations scanned polling station results used for the collation, though approved by agents of both political parties, were not verified by the presiding officers responsible for these polling stations. And so these are the areas where the EC will rerun.
Right. Thank you so much, Fred Smith, for that update. While as erratic weather and shrinking rainfall hits farmers' hearts, scientists are pushing for intercropping as a lifeline. Bright Kweku has more in today's episode of Climate Focus.
In the last farming season, Ghana witnessed yet another unprecedented long dry spell, destroying nearly a million acres of land. Every year we get beautiful harvests, but this year hasn't been good. It rains heavily during June, July, but not this year. The plants have failed to grow. Farmers in Ijua, one of Ghana's food baskets, are reeling under the impacts of climate change.
It's expensive preparing the land. In the end, if you don't get anything, it hurts.
Scientists from the research institute are exposing them to a climate-smart farming practice of intercropping cereals and legumes. Dr. Eric Owusu-Dankwa is an agronomist.
One of the gases which is causing climate change is carbon. This is able to tap carbon from the atmosphere into its tissues. He is able to lock it and is able to reduce it, and that is good for climate change mitigation.
Climate Focus is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging gaps for positive youth development, and the Climate Development Knowledge Network.
He wants to be a soldier and he's not letting the streets slow him down. While his mother hawks sashi water at the East Legon traffic at night, 10-year-old Samuel turns his ice chest into a desk and studies under car lights. He wants to become successful one day so he can wipe the sweat off his mother's face. MF Adeti reports.
On this busy street of East Legon, dreams do not wait for perfect conditions. They fight to survive.
Thank you. 4+1 is 5. And I have seen Jesus.
On this busy street, 10-year-old Samuel is chasing his dream to serve his country as a soldier. His study table, the mother's ice chest, and the study room, this pavement. His study lamp, the bright light from passing vehicles.
My name is Samuel Opo.
And how old are you?
10 years.
You're 10 years. Okay, what class are you?
Class 4.
What do you do here?
Do my homework.
He comes here after school. By the time we get home, he will be asleep. I always make sure he does his homework so that when we get home, he just takes his bath and goes to bed.
His books are never far from his hands. That gives him joy. His dream? Becoming a military officer.
What do you want to become?
Soldier.
A soldier?
Yeah, no. Chata Reno Kraman.
And then resize when I'm a toy.
This afternoon, three of Bono East top contenders, Kintempo Senior High School, Our Lady of Mount Carmel Girls Senior High School, and Ekonfia Mayel Senior High Technical School, are taking their turn in separate contests battling for a place at the National Science and Math Quiz 2025 National Championships. Here are excerpts.
Oh, it was wonderful. Even though we didn't
We didn't have that courage. And then when we went through the social media, people are saying, Kintampo, Kintampo. We got a little bit scared. But with God and everything, we made it.
This time around, you are going into the finals. You are going to meet the big guns there. You are going to meet the likes of Presec, Prempeh, Achimota. You are going to